The New Year's sermon series is titled 2020 Vision, as we seek to align our vision with God's vision for us. The message today focuses on God's vision for community. The Bible reading is from Genesis 2, verses 18 through 23, and it is on page 2 of the Old Testament section of the Red Pew Bible. It's in the bulletin and on the screen. God's vision for community. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called them, each living creature was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to all the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. The man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from the one who is, who was, and who is to come, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. As we look at today's Bible story, we often hear these verses read at weddings, but it's not an exclusive verse just for weddings. This passage certainly speaks about relationships between men and women, husbands and wives, but also, get this, also it defines for us even a more basic understanding of humanity than just marriage relationships. It gives us God's understanding that we as humans are built for community. It's not saying that all people should be married, don't go there, but it's about God Almighty creating people, creating us with a certain innate need for each other. You see, from the very beginning of time, God fashioned and made us to live in community, not as hermits. It's the very opposite of that 1963 classical Simon and Garfunkel song titled, "I Am a Rock." Anybody hear of that song before, "I Am a Rock"? Well, it goes, "I am a rock," they say. "I am an island. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded by my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. A rock feels no pain. An island never cries. I am a rock. I am an island." I think I'll keep my day job. Granted, there are times when we need to be alone, when we need to express our individuality. But from the get-go, the architect of heaven and earth hardwired our DNA with the intent of us living and being in community. So be it with friends, be it with family, neighbors, classmates, team, church, spouse, kids, whatever it may be, the simple essence of our Bible story today expresses our relationships and our need for community. We hear that as the story goes, God created Adam, and then he stepped back from the situation and he observed. The passage says this: the Lord God said, "It is not good. It is not good that the man should be alone." So then God formed every animal, every bird of the air, and Adam gave them names. But the story goes on to say, "For the man there was not one found suitable to be his helper, his partner. So God made Eve. And again, think not so much about it being about marriage, but more about relationships and our connection with one another. By design, it is by design that it is not good that we not live in community, because it's in community that we get to share one another. It's in community that we receive certain benefits from others that we can't receive just us leading into us, like gifts of power and strength, hope and light, correction and direction, encouragement and uplifting. These are gifts that others bring to us outside of ourselves. And it's especially true when we have a burden to bear or a joy to share. It's simple math, brothers and sisters in Christ. In community, a burden shared is divided, and joys shared are multiplied. Hey, Tammy and I have had an abundance of our joy being multiplied these days. If you haven't heard yet, we are proud grandparents. This little rascal right here, Graham Wilder Cornegay, not quite 2 weeks old, and just look at him there. Isn't he sweet? And who does he favor? Well, let's just don't go there yet, all right? But we have joined the grandparenthood. Show of hands. How many of you are grandparents here? There's my people. There you are right there. We celebrate with you these days. Graham weighed in at a whopping 7 pounds, 12 ounces, 20 and a quarter inches long. Our daughter Katie and son-in-law Jeff are doing just dandy, and thank you. Thank you for your prayers along the way. My wife Tammy is now proud as a peacock, and I'm puffed up like a bandy rooster. Some of you have asked, what will we be called? And I just made an insistence that we not have to be called names that rhyme, because I didn't want Tammy to be named Mimi, because that would make me pee-pee, and that doesn't sound really good. And I don't want Tammy to be named Moo Moo, because, well, you figure that one out, right? You get my point. Tammy settled on Omi, and I'm leaning into my Czech heritage, half German, half Czech heritage, and in Bohemian, in Czech, the name for grandpa is Dedo, D-E-D-D-O. We'll see what the kid ends up naming us after he gets a hold of these words, and they'll call us what they decide to call us. All to say that we are on cloud 9, still flying high, celebrating this little slice of heaven, that this little bundle of bliss. And just look at him. Isn't he as cute as a bug, the little one, not the big one, huh? Cute as a bug and smart. I forgot to tell you how smart he actually is. Son-in-law Jeff, there's his picture right there, yep. Son-in-law Jeff was already beginning to tell him stories and show him pictures of animals in books. And they turned to the page where the rhinoceros was. And then Graham automatically made this sound of a rhino by letting out a little rear toot. Is he smart or what? I'll tell you, this is my grandson. It's my grandson we're talking about here. We just want to thank you. We thank you for your prayers. As many of you know, just 11 months ago, we were asking for your prayers as Katie was dealing with some liver issues and testing. And by the hand of God, by his providence, him being the great physician, that all turned out well. And praise be to God, they're able to have children and move on and celebrate life. So for Tammy and I, it's been an absolute pleasure, a surreal thrill to show these pictures. And I've got dozens more if you want to catch me after church here. That's one of the great points of community, is it not? For as wonderful as Graham's birth is to us personally, it means even more when it's not just kept privately. You see, elation and celebration are magnified as we reciprocate the excitement through congratulations and hugs. I can't even begin to imagine not having someone to share this good news with, not having community to enjoy this God-given ecstasy with. You see, community makes things more full, more rich. It's just as Romans 12 says, we rejoice with those who rejoice. And you know about that. You know about celebrations, be they weddings like Daniel was talking about earlier, or anniversaries, graduations, promotions, sports victories, retirement, any of those milestones, we share in community. Yes, we rejoice with those who rejoice. Amen? Amen. It's not the end of the sermon. Because there's a second half to that as well. The scripture says, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. So it's in community that we dance with those who are ready to dance with. We dance in a jubilant fashion. And we also, though, walk alongside of those who are brokenhearted, sad, dejected. In and around this time where we were celebrating the arrival of Graham, we also received the upsetting news that our son Andy and his wife Alex had the misfortune of a miscarriage. It was and still is a bit hard, still a bit raw. Sharing it in the highest of highs, so to speak, but also just in a matter of days, some of the lows of lows in life. A roller coaster ride of faith. To hold a babe in arms on one day and to hold your son and daughter-in-law in arms the next. Hearts leaping for joy for one set and hearts aching in pain for another. Eyes leaking over delight in a birth and the same eyes streaming tears in the loss of another. I know you have been there, and you have had family members and friends who have been there with this and other similar disappointments, heartaches, and brokenness. And certainly community is extended way beyond just family ties. But those two examples just shared is how we roll, what we do as community, as people of faith, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. It's when we celebrate and when we also go through the valleys of the shadows of with others that community comes together. And we thank God. We thank God for this community that we're able to share our happiness. We're able to share our hurt. But I've got to go a little bit deeper with you here too. See, for me, not knowing exactly how to respond to Andy and Alex's situation of a miscarriage, not knowing just the right words or the silences, the things to do or the things not to do, because I've never been there before, I leaned into community. A man, one of you in this congregation, a woman, one of you in this congregation, those who have experienced several miscarriages. Try to get some words of advice, some coaching, some support of how to be sensitive to our pain-stricken loved ones. Oh, did I receive some wisdom? Oh, did I receive some goodness beyond myself, beyond my thinking that I know, as I leaned into others. And what a gift. What a gift it was to gather together with just one other person in community, sharing hurts and pains and sorrows and even tears. Community at its best is when we huddle together in joy and we huddle together in our weeping. And particularly when someone is in no man's land of being able to be uplifted and strengthened for the journey to then help others in community to support them along the way. You know, I believe it was no accident that then God offered opportunities for me this last week to lean into some hard but some holy privileges of being community to others around me, listening and praying with others. One was a parent who was searching for support with a rebellious teen. Another was with a parent who threw soft sobs about her adult son being addicted to crack cocaine. Another one with a stroke person. Conversations about suicide still go on a lot. Conversation with a young mom who is taking care of her baby girl who is battling cancer, 6 months old. Young couples, two of them this last week, struggling to hold on to their unraveling marriage. Prayers with family as they buried a matriarch. A man who feared losing his leg to infection. And not by coincidence, I believe, not by anything, just happened to be, but by God's design and God incidents. Conversation with another young man who longed to be a daddy, but currently he and his wife are unable to do that. This is community as we live it out, not just in a church building, but as we live it out in our community. And as we gather as two or three, Ecclesiastes 4 says it so well. Better are two than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and does not have the other to help. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not easily broken. We know that that third cord is God Almighty himself, intertwined by faith in us. As Jesus continues to remind us that when two or three gather in his name, there he is in a special way. And by God's design, we are stronger when we don't journey alone. We are more steady when we're propped up in faith and prayers by others. And we can even experience a peace of calm that passes all human understanding when we walk alongside, or we are walked alongside of, by others. 1 Thessalonians 5 says it so well, encourage one another. Encourage one another as you have been doing. Shining the light of God in others' darkness. Uplifting one another when they're downtrodden. Listening deeply to others' pains. And sharing tears with those who need to know that they are not alone. This is Christian community. And we take our lead from the one who came from heaven above to earth to walk alongside of us, to bear our burdens, to remind us that we are not alone in this journey of life and faith. I get to see this particular celebration from time to time as we think about what we are and who we are when it comes to people of God. And this is a sign that's displayed at the Wellness Center. It speaks about strength gained in community. It reminds me that we are not fully complete, unless we're connected with others. Again, we're not talking about marriage. We're talking about community of Christ. That somehow, some way, God pieces us together. God puts us together. And the weight of working out is certainly inspired when others are around us. And the weights of this world, we are certainly inspired as others are around us as well. And that, my brothers and sisters in God, is what he desires. As we give each other high fives in our celebrations, or as we walk side by side and draw near when we're experiencing the lows of lows. Last week, there were 23 who gathered to get ready to head to Mexico, taking all those buckets that we had collected to La Union. And it was cold. I don't know if you remember last Monday. It was cold, barely nipping out there. I was shivering. I was shaking. And they were gathering up at 6 a.m. They were getting ready to go. And a young man, as I was standing there shaking, by the name of Christian Turner. How many even know Christian? He was going on the Mexico mission trip. He walked up to me and he said, Pastor, do you know how penguins stay warm? I said, no, Christian, I don't know how penguins stay warm. He said they huddle together. They huddle together. And so with a grin, we kind of leaned into one another. This power of community is seen not just when we gather together, but when we continue to journey. And I believe that the geese and the ducks, as they make their way from north to south and south to north, have that lesson to teach us so well about community, that flying in that V formation, that the one who takes the lead right there, takes on the wind, reduces that for those who are behind her. And when that one gets tired, it falls off to the edge and goes to the back so that another one may take on the strength of that wind, that resistance, as she then gathers up strength for that continued journey as well. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we journey forward in life and in faith, may we take note of some of these creatures that our Heavenly Father has made. And may we too huddle up and join in the flying V in community as we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. Amen.